where things don't fall. I believe that this word is really going to help us today. Lord, thank you for your word. I know your word's going to help us because it's yours. It's your word. I'm just going to say some of it. Let your word do what it will today. We are needy people. And you're going to help us. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Felt needs. Say this. Felt needs. I said we're needy people on purpose. I don't want to walk my whole Christian life out needing something from God. If I need a miracle every day, that's called wilderness living. Old Testament wilderness living. They needed a miracle every day. I don't want to be the guy who needs a miracle every day, but I am needy, and we are needy. Psychologists say this, that there's this thing called felt needs, and we all have felt needs. Psychologists agree that there are felt needs, things that everybody feels, but most of those things can be met. Most of those felt needs can be met, most of them, simply by feeling that I'm wanted. Just feeling that you're wanted. Nobody likes to feel unwanted or to feel not wanted. Everybody wants to be accepted, right? I remember when I was in the seventh grade at Southwood Middle School in Anderson, South Carolina, and I finally got chosen to play basketball. Back in those days, everybody didn't get to play. You only got to play if you could contribute. And I finally got chosen to play, and I came home and I told my mom, I said, I got accepted. I feel accepted. That stuck with me my whole life. Just something as simple as somebody picking you up and playing basketball. My son right now loves basketball. And I'm going to tell you, he's pretty good. And y'all look at me like you couldn't play no basketball, but I'm telling you, there's a day I could. There's a day about 100 pounds was trimmed off of me. And I could play. I really could. I could play. I could shoot. I could play well enough that I started the away games. I never played one time at home. Say politics. Oh, that. Yeah. I never wanted to quit something more than I wanted to quit when I could only play away. But at home games, I never stepped foot on the court during regulation. Can you believe that? Well, I lived that out. Well, a couple of years have passed. Now my little boy started playing basketball. There's two coaches. Between those two coaches, there's 11 players on the team. Between those two coaches, they have three sons. So do the math. How many positions are available on the team? Two. Two. So the other kids rotate those. And my son right now is so frustrated because I'm telling you, he's not just good, he's one of the best on the team. Probably the best shooter. Definitely the best dribbler. And I told him, son, he wanted to quit. He wanted to quit. Yesterday he had a meltdown. He wanted to quit. He wanted to quit. I said, son, you can't quit. You're not going to quit. If you start quitting, then quitting will always be an option. If you start quitting, quitting will start coming easy to you. So what you can learn is some about basketball, but a whole lot more about character. I'm going to finish this season out. So the time that you do start at practice, and you don't start at the game. I've been there. I understand that. But the minutes that you do play are going to be the best minutes you can possibly play. Okay? Felt needs are a real thing. We all need to feel wanted. I want to feel wanted. You want to feel wanted. To know that you are wanted fills most of the felt needs. John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. See, I love the kingdom already. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Chose you. It's incredible to be chosen. That's the last kid that got chosen for kickball. You know why he was last to be chosen? Because he was last. That's it. That's all. There's no other reason. There's a reason he wasn't first or second or fifth. He's last because the perception is that he's not going to help us. He's going to hurt us. And that is a very nasty place to be. And everybody faces that at some point. I don't care if you got chosen for everything. Stop getting chosen for one thing and you feel that. But in the kingdom, Jesus told the disciples this, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Remember how he walked up to the disciples? Follow me. You know what his word is for you? Follow me. And Lincoln said, amen. You know, me, amen. Every amen I get, I tack on 5 minutes. I take off 5 minutes. So, John, I heard that. You did not choose me, but I chose you. But with that comes something that you have been chosen now, but you've not just been chosen. You've been given a directive. You have a call. He's appointed you. So he has chosen you and appointed you. Now, the problem with appointments are distractions. It's easy to get distracted. You got to remember, I have an appointment. I've got something I've got to do. I've got something that can't be. And here's what the enemy comes to do to somebody who has an appointment. He'll come to distract. You got to be able to recognize what is urgent. And what is an emergency? The difference between the two, and what's just a distraction? If I came to the United States and I didn't know, I would think urgent care. Somebody went to urgent care. Oh man, you better call everybody in to know. Urgent care, urgent care. Now they got billboards, 5 minutes waiting at urgent care. 60 minutes waiting at urgent care. I can't go now. I ain't standing in that line for 60 minutes. I'll wait till it gets down to 5. Then I'll go. Then it'll be urgent. What is that? That's the society that we live in, though, right? Okay? How do you combat distractions? Focus. Distractions? Focus. You ever had your school teacher say, Mr. Morgan, we're right here. Whatever you're dreaming about, come back. You know, do that enough times, you end up in the principal's office. Distractions. You handle that with your focus. But some people focus on their distractions. Others focus on how to eliminate distractions. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus gave this example on the cross. You know that he was still in mission mode. He was still meeting an appointment. This is what it said, Hebrews 12 and 2. It said, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus the author and their finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. He got rid of all distractions by focusing on the joy that was set before him. In the middle of all these things that are going on, you've got to have focus in your life, because you've got an appointment that God's keeping record of. I believe that with all of my heart. I hope that you believe it too. There's a conflict that happens with being chosen, because being chosen now means that I am out of what is normal. That normal is not for me what it used to be. A new normal. When you understand that God didn't just choose you randomly, He chose you for purpose. Now you've got to focus on not being distracted and understanding this, that my old normal is not what it used to be. I no longer fit into environments that I used to fit into. There's degrees that people come to the Lord. Some people come to the Lord and they had a mom and dad that told them about the Lord all their life. They got away from the Lord and they lived a little bit of life enough to realize I need to come back to the Lord. There's other people that didn't have that mom and dad. There's other folks that didn't have a mom or a dad. There's folks that Jesus is so foreign to them that they look at you like you're crazy. But everybody comes to Him at some level. So however level, whatever the level is that you came to Him in, there's a point that you're going to realize that whatever I came out of that was normal before is not the environment that He wants me in anymore. Because of what He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. In order for fruit to grow, it has to be in a proper environment. You will realize in your lifetime that there are times that I am advancing in the Lord and times that I am not. And I would say most of the times that you're not is because you're out of your environment. You're out of a proper environment. You're out of the place where you could flourish in the Lord. And He wants you planted in Him so that you can flourish in Him. Okay? Environment is so important. So important. How are you going to bear fruit if you're not in the correct environment? Just hang with me. Everything has to be in a proper environment to thrive. I remember I was down at the beach one time. I think it was one of the first times that I went to the beach. When I was growing up, we couldn't go to the beach. My dad was a pastor. We couldn't even say we were going to the beach. We had to say we're going to the coast. We had to church at the coast. Beach meant everybody's wild and running around in bikinis. I guess that's what it meant. It was like wrong if you went to the beach, but you could might get by with going to the coast. Coast. So I think the first time I was at the coast, we went to this restaurant called the Trawler, and I think it was in North Carolina. But I remember this, outside they had ships that came in, and they had their hall. And on the dock land, there was a shark. And I was Mr. Wildlife anyway. I saw that shark, and I could not believe what I saw. I saw a shark. And I went up to it and looked at it, and I was looking at its teeth and everything, and I was just enthralled by it. And you know what? That shark wasn't so tough out of his environment. But I dare not mess with that shark in the water, because what happens then? I'm out of my environment. Now tell me, is environment important or not? environment is very important. Now, that was what happened to me at the coast. Don't let the enemy take you out of your environment. It's very important for you to be in your environment and to be in the right environment. There's something that happens when you're in the right environment, okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 41. I want to read you a couple of these scriptures right here. This had to do with the birth of Jesus. But before Jesus was born, Mary got pregnant. And Mary was a virgin. And Mary was very concerned because you just didn't get pregnant if you didn't have a husband in those days. And she was wondering what to do and how to handle it. And she goes to her cousin Elizabeth's house. And that's where we pick this up. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Let's start with 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in the womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." You might wonder what all that has to do with environment. You think about how troubled Mary was and how much shame and how much perception there was going to be about her. She had to go get into an environment with somebody of like faith because her cousin Elizabeth, as soon as she saw her, the babe leaped inside of her as a witness and a testimony. You got to put yourself into the right environments. So a lot of times we mess ourselves up. We let the enemy take us out of our environment. But we also take ourselves out of the environment. I told the men this morning, we had men's breakfast this morning. And since we've gone through what we've gone through as a family, I wanted to do nothing more than isolate myself. That'd be like the greatest thing I could do. Like the most comforting thing I could do would be to go isolate myself. And the second most comforting thing to do would be to crawl in bed and go to sleep so I don't think about stuff. Can I tell you that's the enemy's plan, to isolate you? Take me out of the environment. Joe said this morning, he said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm making it." He said, "You know what? There should be an award sometimes for just making it." I said, "Yeah, it should be a big award, a big old trophy. I'm just making it." Some of you know what I'm talking about, when the toughest times come. Then I told him like this. I said, "But being here is like oxygen for me. See, the enemy wants to rob me from my environment. See, Christ dwells in me, but he dwells in you too. And when two or three are gathered, so I need to do everything I can to make sure I'm in their environment that is positive, that with the fellowship of the believers as much as possible. Why would I take that out? Why would I take that out of the way?" When I was a kid, my mama did drugs. She drug all five of us to church. I grew up with a drug addict. I went to church because I had to. It was the default setting. It's going to hurt a little bit, but church doesn't need to be like an option. It does not need to be, I'll grab a handkerchief and amen myself. It does not need to be like, if ain't nothing else going on, I might go to church. If I ain't too tired, I'll move on. I just needed to say that. Because I'm telling you, it's worth it. When you get in the proper environment, one mind and one accord, anything can happen. By design. Remember the Tower of Babel? Whole world had one voice. Whole world was speaking one language. God looked down at it. He said, I got to go down and confuse them. Because now that the whole world is speaking the same thing, anything could be possible to them. Can I tell you that's God's principle? Why do you think at rallies that people will pay a whole lot of money to go to something that they're interested in, and then the guy that's the keynote speaker gets everybody saying the same thing? You can win. Say it. Say it louder. You can win. And we're looking around, hey, we're winners. And all he got you to do is say the same thing. God's principle, not his. God's principles work regardless of who uses them, because they're God's. Just people will take his principle and put their name at the bottom as a footnote instead of his. His principle, his stuff works. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I don't have time to preach all five of those points because there's five of them. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you. You should go, bear fruit. Fruit should remain. Whatever you ask the Father in the name of his Son, Jesus, he'll do. I could preach all five of those points, but if you want me to, I'll go right to the end. Okay, we'll go right to the end. Ask the Father in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is not a phrase you say. In Jesus' name is a place you live. The sooner you get to that, the better off you're going to be. In Jesus' name. Because you're taking it out of your power and putting it into his. There's nothing like his name. But it's probably one of the most abused things that we do is ask for things in his name. Because we have learned to ask for his name, but according to our will. Y'all remember microwave recipes? Y'all remember when the microwave was new on the scene? I was going to be the big dog. It made my mom so happy. I was going to buy one at Walmart. They were $77. You can get them about $19 now. $77. I had good intentions, but that $77 started looking better in my pocket than it did a microwave. And I think our first microwave somebody gave us. But I remember those microwave recipes. One of the first ones I remember was bacon. It's the worst thing that ever happened to a strip of bacon is a microwave. Why? Because we always knew how great bacon was, but how could it even be better unless you could have it like now? You know how hard it is to make bacon, right? Doesn't it take some time? make it right. I mean, to make it. So if you're a microwave bacon maker, I'm praying for you. You hadn't had bacon and you hadn't served it, nobody. Or nobody walks away from that meal saying, that bacon. They go, oh my, that bacon. What did they do that bacon? Bacon. There were other recipes. My first year at college, a kid, we had a hall about like half the size of this room where everybody could meet. It was a TV room and they put a brand new microwave in it, mistake. For a bunch of college boys. Somebody decided that they were going to have a boiled egg. From the inside out. And I remember, I don't remember it starting up because I was watching TV. I do remember how it ended up with a loud explosion and the door blowing off of it. Boom, that thing blew. And it already smelled like rotten egg. I don't know how it did that. But up to that point, it was a brand new microwave, but it was still so much fun because college boys that had big windows and we caught flies. And you catch them in the corner of the window and you take it to the microwave. You open the door and throw it in there and close it and turn it on. Do not try this at home. I'll finish up right out here. Ooh. Heard that. Good night. You're only saying that because your son's back there. He said, that's Clemson. That sounds, that's like a Clemson education. I wasn't smart enough to get into Clemson. I just know how to pull for a winner. All right, let me bring this thing all together somehow. Get away from my grandbaby and come play. We want it now. I want it now. There are things I want right now, but I don't get to have them right now. And what I'm slowly learning is that he's not always holding back from me. He's holding back for me. It feels like he's holding back from me. And I got the mechanics down. I got the biblical things down. I know what the Bible says. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I did this, and I prayed here, and I gave here, and I read here, and I fasted here. And about this time, God, any time right now would be good. And I start feeling like he's holding back from me when he's really holding back for me. And I've learned to not just ask the Father in Jesus' name, but also in his time, in his will. Do not hold back from me, hold back for me. I'm not asking you something that's impossible, but it may not be beneficial right now. So I want to end with this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. There's an appointment he's got for you. But I just laid this out there for the men this morning as we ate breakfast. I said, this is all I got from you. I got for you. And I just want to throw this out there. And they started talking about it. There's something about a man. I mean, the last line is talking about, ask the Father in my name. If there's things that we don't ask God, we don't even tell God. And at the end of the day, God's the only one who knows it all already. Why is it that God knows everything, but we're afraid to talk to Him about it? I do not like to counsel people. And I have a reason for that. I'm not saying I won't counsel, but all I will give you is a biblical perspective. So I think that what I do on Sundays, I'm counseling everybody. Not that I know it all, but God's Word does. God's Word goes to the place that you need it. And then the answer is, will you obey? That's all it comes down to. This is His word. Will you obey? Because a lot of people that asked me for counseling, they really just want to discuss what they didn't agree with, what I preached. I don't even care anymore. I'm 51. I don't care. I don't. I care about you. I don't care about wasting time on your time or mine. Might sound cruel, but I did say I don't care. I do, but I don't care to waste your time. I don't care to waste mine. I want things to be productive. I'm supposed to be producing fruit. And if all I do is pacify you where you're at to enable you to stay where you are, what did we really accomplish then anyway? I promise you I'm going somewhere with this. We want to tell somebody about it. And we're very careful who we choose. And then there's those people that'll tell anybody everything, but most people are careful about who they tell the most important things to. The reason that I don't want you to tell me anything and everything about you, because if you do, now I know something about you that on a human level I've got to learn to deal with. Did anybody understand what I'm talking about? I don't like that kind of knowledge in my life. I don't like that kind of extra burden. I got enough burden on me, is what I'm saying. And I bank that on this word right here. Ask the Father in the name of His Son, Jesus. But we don't want to say anything to Him. For some reason, the one who knows it all, we don't want to say it to Him. So if I'm trying to figure it out, who I'm going to tell it to. Most of the times when I tell the deepest things to somebody, it has not long since left my mouth that I wish I would have never said it. Here's what I've come to realize. His word says, ask the Father in the name of Jesus. If I can't ask God, if I can't tell it to God, who can I tell it to? Think about that. If I can't tell it to God, who can I tell it to? And once I get it to Him, that's as far as it really has to go. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another. I'm trying to head off any questions. Well, Pastor, I'm not so sure I agree with that. Let me head off. Confess your faults to one another. It didn't say confess every nasty, bloody thing you ever did in your life. Everybody's got a closet. Everybody's got bones in them. I don't want to know. I started off talking about basketball, but you see this operation in basketball all the time. Confess your faults. You're playing against somebody. You're playing against a teammate. I made a bad pass. They steal it. What do I say? My bad. I just confess my faults. I'd say, Logan, man, I really messed this thing up, man. I knew I should have thrown you the ball, but I didn't. I threw it at that knucklehead. You understand how far we can take things? Confess your faults. One of the men this morning, he said, hey, you know what? I went through something this week, but God showed me something, and a couple of days later, can I tell you, I walk away from that going, whew. Give it to God. So you might leave here this morning thinking, I kind of liked Pastor until he said that. Now I'm kind of mad at him. What if I tell you something that helps grow you up or grow us up a little bit? How about that? I'm going to have a bad. I told you to start off. I don't need a miracle every day. I don't live in a wilderness. Yes, we're supposed to bank some things off of each other. You know what I need you to do to pray for me? Because some of you might be thinking, well, I'm just going to pray for Pastor. I'm going to pray for him that he hears from God. I'm going to shock you. But hang on. Don't rush out the building when I say this. Don't pray for me that I hear from God. Don't pray for me that I hear from God. Pray that I listen to what he says. Because you hear from God too. Almighty, that was the worth the price of admission right there. Just to say it felt good. And it comes down for me just like it comes down for you. His word doesn't change. The thing that changes is whether I will obey or not. That's it.
That's all.
Period. Nothing else. We can go home now. Turkey dinner. Chicken, Bojangles, ham sandwich, bologna. You know what I say about bologna? Some poor soul was eating steak. Some poor soul had to eat steak while I'm having this good bologna. Fried up black, some mustard. I can make you mad, but I can bring you back with taste buds. Works every time. If the amens really go away, I'll start preaching on gravy. That'll bring a southerner back every time. I want us to grow in the Lord. I want us to grow up in the Lord. I believe we're on track. I believe we're on pace. He didn't choose. I'm sorry, I didn't choose him. He chose me. You didn't choose him. He chose you and appointed you. Has a purpose in your life. Your environment is important. And if Christ lives inside of you, then you have the ability to change the environment. I don't care where you go. Father, I love you, Lord. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you want to grow us. I thank you for the awesome time of worship that we have. We've got so much to be grateful for and so much to be thankful for. But I thank you for your calling because it's not just for one or two, or it's not for everybody except one or two. It's for everyone in this room. We didn't choose you. You chose us and appointed us. And you've got work for us to do. We can ask anything in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you may do it. God, help us to realize. You said that you may do it. That there are times when it feels like you're holding back from us, but you're actually just holding back for us. We love you, Lord. We trust you, God. You're always growing our trust. You're always growing my trust. You're always helping me see things in a deeper way. God, help us to see things the way you see it. In Jesus' name. I love you, Lord. I praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all this morning. God bless you. Hold on just a second. Come on, Tim. I like that shirt.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to give you guys a reminder. Next Saturday night, February 9th, Couples Bunko Night. If you haven't been before, please go to the website, register, RSVP. We have an amazing time. Bring your favorite finger food or appetizer. We are going to have child care that night, so if you're going to need child care, please RSVP on the website. But it's from 6 to 9 next Saturday. You guys come out and have fun. We're going to have a blast.
God bless you guys, and you go.